There are special times in the journey of a pastor in which the gospel seems the best ever. It's when you baptize somebody and the water and the word creates faith and connects them to Jesus directly. And it's one of the best ever times. On the day of confirmation, for young or adults, it's the neatest. One of the neatest. Because at your confirmation, you're reaffirming what took place at your baptism, that you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ because of God's love. And then the next time is when someone's dying. And you're with them, and they know that they're not meant for long. And they're ready to see God. And they're excited about being in heaven. They're not excited about the pain that the family's going to feel, but they're excited about being in heaven. And it is the best ever. To tell people about God's love, to tell people about the Savior coming and living and suffering, the whips, the marks that he received in our place, and the nails piercing him instead of us, and being lifted up on that cross instead of you and I, and in our baptism we're united to that suffering, and we're united to his death, and it doesn't stop there. We're united to him in his resurrection. The toxic, sinful nature does not win. There's a cure. And it's the best ever. Forgiveness of sins, that weight that we hold on to, the guilt, the shame, and everything else is just cast off. It's like it's shattered glass left in shards and no longer has power, control, and hold. And we are free. It's the best ever. The good news of God's love is John chapter 3. You know the verse 16, right? You know, God so loved the world. And how powerful that is. But we often forget what surrounds this text. Because it's a reminder of the time when the snakes were biting. In the Old Testament, it's two Hebrew words. I won't even try to pronounce them. But, you know, it's one is for fiery, and the other one is for serpents. And it's talking about, as it is thought, that with this particular toxin, and there's several snakes that fit the description, with this particular venom, the poison burns. And wherever you're bitten, it swells up and it becomes red. And it produces almost like a fever-like sensation. And it spreads as the venom spreads throughout your body. So does that heat. And with this venom, you actually feel like you're dying of thirst. And you have to remember where Moses was when this took place. And the people had rebelled against God. And God said, you know, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to teach you a lesson. And he sent the fiery serpents. And whoever was bitten, it doesn't tell you 9 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds. Do you know that you can go to the internet and see which is the fastest serpent toxin, right? What poison will kill you the quickest? Because I don't think that was the point. The point that they were consumed with another kind of venom. It was their sinful flesh, their sinful nature. And it was separating them from God. And it kept them in rebellion against God. And they would not look to God. So in a way, not that the Bible tells us, if you're not going to look up to God, I'm going to have you looking down. Can you imagine snakes all around you? Are you looking up? Are you looking down? Or are you running? Watching where you step. And so the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, many people died that day. And the people that were still living, there was no doubt that the real venom was in here. And they came to Moses. And they asked him to intervene, to talk to God, and to bring and for them to repent. And so Moses did talk to God, and you have the bronze serpent made on a pole. And God's promise was that if you will look at the bronze serpent and you have been bitten, you will live. And the question is, why did many people still die? Because when we get to the gospel reading for today, it's the same question. If you will look to Christ, if you will believe in him, you will be saved. And why is it that many people still die? In our world today, Jesus is not a marvelous name. In our world today, Jesus is not thought of as all-powerful, almighty Savior and Lord. In our world today, people do not look up to God. In fact, in their arrogance, they look down at him. In our world today, his name is not treasured, it is not respected, it is not honored. It's used as a cuss word. If you bang your thumb with a hammer, people never call out your name, right? They call out his name, the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But when people get hurt, they use the name Jesus Christ, but it isn't a prayer and it isn't praise. In the world today, if you tell the gospel, it is considered hate language because it is exclusive. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. There is no way to get to heaven except through Jesus. And that's exclusionary. In our world today, the people want to believe that all religions have value, that all get you to that great place, whatever it is. In our world today, God is only loving, and there is no judgment, there is no chastisement, and there is no eternal punishment. In our world today, when you tell the gospel to an unbeliever, it isn't pleasing. So what do we do? Imagine you're at the edge of a swimming pool and you have that round thing that looks like a big donut, but don't bite it. and you have the opportunity to throw it in the water to someone who is drowning. And the person who's drowning says, I don't want that. I want a boat. I don't have a boat. I have this. I don't want that. I want, you know, a yacht. I don't have a yacht. I have this. I don't want that. I want the power to walk on water. I don't have the power to walk on water. I have this. Eventually, when they run out of request and they realize that there's no hope without this, sometimes they'll say, throw the life raft, throw the ring. When they have seen in the world that all other avenues fail, and they have hit rock bottom, the gospel is the most wondrous thing ever. It is the news that Christ loves them in their mess. It is the news that Christ still cares for them in their brokenness. It is the news that Christ calls out to them and wants to receive them into his kingdom after all they've done. But sometimes in our world, people don't want that gospel. They want to try science. They want to try holistic medicine. They want to try all the other cures that they think might work. We are that way with our health at times. The doctor says you need surgery. I don't want surgery. And we will go home and we will go to the internet, now that we have the internet, and we will look up and we will try to find anything that works. I was the pastoral advisor to a multiple sclerosis support group. And I did not know a lot about MS until I became involved in it. I did not have the illness, but I became friends with many people who did. Do you know they tried rattlesnake venom? Yeah. Did you know some people went to their dentist and had all their fillings, you know, pulled because there might be mercury in them? Do you know there were some that even used a procedure called chelation? It's where the blood is filtered and purified, not the same as dialysis. They would try all kinds of things to beat this monster of an illness. And our world is that way with sin. We will try anything and everything. And we see it. People try cocaine. People try marijuana. People try alcohol. People become workaholics. People try antidepressants. People try all kinds of things to fight what sin brings into their life and into themselves. We are on a mission to tell the gospel. And at times, it is the hardest thing to share. Because it is rejected, it is ridiculed, it is slammed in our face. We're accused of many things that we aren't. So why do we keep doing it? Because when you have the best and the most wonderful and the most awesome God, and he's the only real God, you stay with it. And when you have the only cure and answer for sin and death and the defeat of the devil, you stay with it. And when you know that when Christ comes, only those who believe will enter into the kingdom of God, those who are living and those who have died are already there for those who are believers, you stay with it. You stay with God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, the best ever. Amen.